It was a great result when you consider the result at Murrayfield Miles. I mean, Ireland now sitting on 14 points with the two bonus points. But you said 37-27, an amazing game of rugby. I said yesterday in my final report, it's probably as good a game as I've seen at the Aviva Stadium since it opened. I mean, it had the crowd on its toes. And when you think with about 60 seconds to go, Miles, there was a scenario that the game could have gone three ways. Ireland were leading at that stage. If Wales had scored rather than the intercept from Jason Stockdale, had that gone to George North, Wales would have won. And had Ireland given away a penalty anywhere near halfway line, the chances are that Hoppy would have kicked the penalty, so the game would have been a draw. I mean, what a fantastic finish, you know, to have that sort of three-way finish. And I can assure you, whenever Stockdale leapt to intercept that long pass, the crowd roared him the whole way to the post. It was almost a relief because, you know, with only 3 points in it, knowing the way that Hoppity was kicking and knowing the ability of the Welsh to score a try from nothing, the Irish supporters were certainly biting their nails.
A mixed performance in many ways by Ireland. Some fantastic work, but some poor work as well. They're being caught out wide on an ongoing basis and conceding tries.
Yes, the two Welsh scores, you know, both came from out wide, and it's rather worrying because it was similar against the Italians and indeed even the Argentinians, if you remember back to the autumn series. I mean, anything in the middle of the park, there's absolutely, it's 100%. But as you say, it's the creation out wide, or whether it's hard to just put your finger on it. You know, that game yesterday at 27-13, after 54 minutes, Ireland really should have nailed that game there and then. But unfortunately, they let the Welsh back into it at that particular time. I mean, I don't think, honestly, from the word go, Miles, that Johnny Sexton was 100% fit. I noticed after just 2 or 3 minutes, he was running, but he seemed to be, his right leg seemed to be hurting him a bit. And, I mean, the thing was that the two penalties that he missed, the one that hit the post and the other one, I mean, those were bread and butter to him. And had those 6 points gone over, of course, things would have been different. But it's all right talking about what might have been. But he certainly put himself about in the physicality, and hopefully he'll have a good two-week rest now before the Scottish game, because, I mean, it's so, so important that he's there. One of the things I think Joe Smith has got to address, Miles, and it might not be the easiest, is I don't think at this level of international rugby you can go into the game with only one kicker, because all it takes was Johnny Sexton to go off yesterday. Now, Conor Murray stepped up the mark and is a reasonable kicker. Possibly he's going to have to practice a lot more in that area, because you really just can't go into a game, especially when you saw, you know, when international rugby can be won and lost on penalty kicks.
It certainly can, and it put Ireland on the back foot, the fact that they weren't converting their chances of getting the points, and momentum's a big thing as well, and it's an actual psychological advantage to the opposition if you miss a penalty.
It is indeed. You know, there was another instance too, Miles. It was after Wales came back to 27-20, that was on 62 minutes. 5 minutes later, Ireland were given a penalty, if you remember, 30 metres out, and I think most people in the stadium thought, we'll nail this one and get 10 points ahead, because it means that Wales would have needed to score two times. Sexton looked, and it was one of those opportunities, a tap and go. He almost got over, but unfortunately he went that quickly that the support wasn't there, and unfortunately Wales were allowed to clear the ball. I don't think that you'd ever see a New Zealand side do that. I think when you get such an easy penalty, was it a case maybe at that stage that Sexton was feeding his leg? Had that been the case, I still think it was worth giving it to Conor Murray. But you know, that particular penalty, if it had gone over, I think might well have quelled the Welsh, because that would have put them 10 points behind. It'd be interesting. I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion about it. I'm not blaming Sexton for what he did, but I always think, Miles, when you take a top penalty like that, you have to score.
You have to score, yeah. Well, the commentators were suggesting as well that it was probably the wrong thing to do, particularly when it wasn't converted, whereas yeah, the 10 points would have been a big difference. But in general, the new players that came on, Porter, Farrell, in particular, I suppose, played very well indeed.
Oh, they were tremendous. I mean, young Porter, I mean, this guy is something else. I mean, Tadhg Furlong is something else as well. I mean, as I've said before, you know, all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years ago, when Mike Ross retired, doom and gloom, all of a sudden now we've got Dave Ryan come on and absolutely brilliant as well. I mean, we now have tight head props, you know, as many as we need. Young Porter, I watch him specifically very, very closely in the scrums because Rob Evans, I have a lot of time for, the Welsh loose head, who has a big reputation. And he gave no quarter. And interestingly, Evans was substituted shortly after the second half. And at no stage, I mean, in the scrums, were Ireland under any pressure, which shows just how good he was. I watched, as I say, his feet position were absolutely magnificent, and he never budged in that particular situation. You mentioned young Farrell, who got the man of the match. Mm-hmm. He certainly put his physicality about, not always maybe making a break, but he certainly kept their centres interested all the time. And, I mean, there were 2 or 3 men were committed to him. James Ryan in the second row as well. What a prospect this boy is. You know, Devon Toner played really well, but I would honestly think against the Scotch, who are quite a very good mobile team, I think the thought of Henderson and Ryan together would certainly be a very athletic second row. And he may not just be such a brute as Henderson at the moment, but he's not far behind him.
So overall, another victory, all building it up supposedly to a St. Patrick's Day, England against Ireland. I think you could bring that forward to the match between Ireland and Scotland in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, this is it, Miles. I mean, the result yesterday, the Sky saw the first half before I got transport home, but certainly the Scots, you had to say, in the first half, they were absolutely magnificent. They absolutely pulverised England, and I think England were shell-shocked. And even though Farrell scored quite early on at the start of the second half, you'd have thought something. But I mean, that was it all. And Scotland had a further penalty. And I'm sure, Miles, it would have been a night of celebration in Edinburgh last night, and there wouldn't have been too many Englishmen, not having a few words said to them from the Scottish boys. But having said that, we, you know, a lot of people before the season started kept saying, you know, Scotland are going to be a useful side, especially the way they played against Australia in the Autumn Internationals. Yes, they were absolutely taken apart by Wales, but since then they've come back, and I don't think there's any Irish supporters, Miles, would turn around and say, oh, we'll beat Scotland easily. I think it's very much similar to what we felt against Wales. I don't think there'll be any complacency with Smith and Rory Best about the Scottish, because they showed yesterday that they matched England physically and they have a tremendous back line. And that will be one of the worries that you mentioned earlier on, is the pace they have out wide, and also that guy Hugh Jones in the centre. Finn Russell, as you know, took a lot of slating, and of course, Eddie Jones doing his usual job. But Russell, I think, gave the fingers to anybody who criticised him after the way he played yesterday.
Yeah, he was man of the match, so you can't argue with that.
No, he was. From what I saw in the first 40 minutes, he was absolutely magnificent. And the Scottish team generally, Miles, were superb. And, of course, Nigel Owens now is to blame for this defeat. I mean, it's quite interesting when you listen to Eddie Jones. It's, you know, 2 weeks ago, he was telling the commentators that they seem to be able to pick a better team than him. And how dare he criticise the fullback because he's one of the best in the world? Well, the way he made an attempt to tackle Hugh Jones yesterday from 15 metres out is hardly the sort of standard you expect from a world-class fullback.
Well, I wonder why would he take him off if he thought he was so good. Take him off before the end of the game as well.
Well, he certainly was caught out badly in that try.
He was. Okay, let's look at France and Italy just briefly. France, too strong for Italy. Not much in it at half-time, 11-7, but France just pulling away in the end.
They did, Miles. Did you see the game?
No, I didn't see that game.
No, you're probably very lucky, actually, and I don't mean that sarcastically. It was a very, very poor game, Miles. The standard of play now was not good, and very disappointed in Italy because, you know, they really... I know against Ireland they scored the 3 tries, and against England they were very competitive for probably the first 50 minutes. But really at no stage against France did they really sort of put anything up to them. France grounded out, but not in the sort of style you would expect for France. Bastereau coming back into the centre, I mean, he was absolutely amazing. I mean, the amount of yards he took and the try scored, I think there was 4 men hanging on to him. But generally speaking, I think it's when you watch that performance between the two sides, it's a fair indication that they're both at the bottom of the table.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Pro 12 briefly. Ulster, the only province not winning, well beaten by the Scarlets, 34-10. Problems there?
Oh, Miles, I saw the score coming home at 10-7, and then I saw the other things. I mean, really, that is an absolute disgrace from Ulster's point of view. I mean, this is against a Scarlets team that has probably about 13 or 14 in the Welsh squad, plus the injuries they have. Yes, Ulster have a few injuries, but I mean, they're missing Henderson, Best and Stockdale compared to the Scarlets. I mean, this is the second week in a row now that they've had an opportunity to gain points, and it'll be very interesting to see just how many people go to the Kingspan next Friday night when they play Glasgow, because there's a lot of Ulster supporters getting very disillusioned, and you know, not only at this moment in time, the chances of getting into the playoffs for the Pro 14 are getting harder and harder, but the other thing is, Miles, they may not qualify for the Champions Cup, and you know, that is a big competition financially. Although I said, I think last week as well, that the way it's going at the moment, possibly a year in the Challenge Cup, like Connacht had, you know, Ulster are quite capable with a decent side of winning the Challenge Cup. Maybe it would be better to get back in winning ways and then try and build a squad up. But certainly, Leas Kiss might have gone, and John O'Gibbs is there, but nothing has changed. And as I say, since Christmas, it's been a disaster. You couldn't use any other word.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the local action. Big victory there for Ballyclare against Limavady in the River Rock Towns Cup.
Yeah, that was a big one. It was a big one. I mean, Ballyclare are leading that championship one, a very, very good team. I'm not sure whether Limavady were slightly under strength, but I mean, I would have expected them. I didn't expect Limavady would have won that game, but obviously just Ballyclare proving the point. And certainly, if they go on to win that Rugby Championship one and go on to the All-Ireland playoffs, I would be very, very surprised if they don't become a senior team come next year, because I saw them last year playing Omagh, Miles, and they are a very, very good side. And I think the reason being that the local school, Ballyclare High School, has got, I mean, they're consistently one of the top teams in schools rugby. And obviously there's a lot of those young players filtering through. The only other games that I could pick up, Miles, on the results sheet was in the Rugby Premier Second 15, quite an interesting result. Ballymena Seconds 12, Omagh Seconds 34. So I think it shows you the depth and strength in the Omagh club. And you know, why the first are doing so well in Division 2C, for their seconds to go and beat Ballymena Seconds 34-12 shows that there's obviously a lot of players ready to step up to the first team. In the Rugby Regional North, it was Co-8th, were 3, City of Derry 29, and the Rugby Regional West, Donegal Town 53, Cookstown 3, Rainey 22, Strabane 3. Obviously, because of the international matches, there wasn't much league rugby played. But I think all eyes now will be on the Aviva and Scotland coming in a fortnight's time. And certainly, from the Ireland point of view, the spectators this year, put it this way, they've had great results, but there must be a few fingernails bitten out when you think of the drop goal against France and you think of that result yesterday. And I suppose that's what makes the game so exciting.